if you're using one of the church Bibles. Matthew chapter 18, and we'll be reading from verse 6 through to verse 9. Should appear on the screen behind me too. Just give you a moment to find that. Jesus is alone, just to set the scene, Jesus is alone with his disciples, it seems, at this stage. And he has currently a little child standing in the middle of this group. And he's using this little child as a reference point for what it means to be one of his disciples. So that's the scene. Get your heads there, your imagination there. And then we pick up. So when he talks about little ones, he's pointing to the child, but he's meaning disciples. It's a picture of disciples. So we're going to pick it up at verse 6. And Jesus says this: if anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble, it would be better for them to have a large millstone hung round their neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe to the world because of the things that cause people to stumble. Such things must come, but woe to the person through whom they come. If your hand or your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life maimed or crippled than to have two hands or two feet and be thrown into eternal fire. And if your eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into the fire of hell. This is Jesus' teaching to us this evening. Let's ask for his help as we think about these serious words together. Our Father in heaven, thank you that these words, these teachings of the Lord Jesus for disciples have been preserved for us. Father, may we learn tonight the lessons that Jesus wants us to learn and take seriously the things he wants us to take seriously. And as James tells us later in the New Testament, may we not just be hearers of the word, but doers of the word. And in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Well, many of us will have seen the sign that I hope appears on the screen behind us. At some point, there it is. Anyone seen a sign like that? Yep, so we're often walking around. Caution, trip hazard. Now, when you see a sign like that standing somewhere, it normally means that somewhere around the sign, unless someone's moved it, somewhere around the sign is something that might cause you to trip up, to fall to the ground, to crash out, as it were. I'm sure many of us have experiences of tripping on things and wish there was a sign nearby. I was out for a run earlier this year, and I clipped a curb as I was running and went absolutely flying in front of a huge crowd of people, hit the pavement. There was this audible gasp as everyone's like, as I hit the deck. And then you try and play it cool, don't you? And you get up and like dust yourself down. But I was like, oh, like think I'd broken my rib. But it was a trip hazard. This curb was a trip hazard. And I went tumbling down and I crashed out. Now, maybe some of you have got a similar story that you could tell tonight of tripping up, falling over, maybe without the running, maybe with the running, who knows? I know, for example, that a lot of our older folk really struggle with this idea of tripping up. It's a great fear for them. Many of our older folk worry about stumbling over and not being able to get up. Now, the reason I start there this evening with this caution trip hazard is it's this idea of falling or stumbling, taking a crash to the ground, as it were, that the Lord Jesus is putting before us in his teaching to his disciples this evening. Not physically tripping over, but spiritually tripping up. These words of Jesus, as it were, this evening, put before us a sign which could read like this. It puts it on the ground for us this evening, and it says, caution, spiritual trip hazards. This is something nearby that Jesus wants to warn us about. See, this evening, if you're a disciple of the Lord Jesus, as we journey through life, seeking to follow him, obey him, trust him, the reality is that there are spiritual trip hazards that want us to fall away from following the Lord Jesus and stumble onto the path that leads to hell. You'll see, if you've got the teaching in front of you, have a look at your Bible. There's a word that Jesus uses four times. Did you spot it? Have a look down. Let's have a bit of interactivity to keep us awake at 5 p.m. on a Sunday night. What's the word he uses four times? It's the word stumble. Did you see it there? It's in verse 6. He says there, if anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in me too, stumble. It's there again in verse 7. Woe to the world because of things that cause people to stumble. It's there in verse 8. If your hand or your foot causes you to stumble. And you see it again in verse 9. If your eye causes you to stumble. So what do you think Jesus is talking about? Stumbling. And in fact, in the original language, it's not just four times, it appears six times. In these short little words of Jesus, this is absolutely what he wants us to get our attention on. As disciples tonight, he wants us to be aware that we are vulnerable. If you're a believer tonight, you are vulnerable to stumbling. And there are stumbling blocks, things that can cause us to stumble in the Christian life all around us. This is something that Jesus really wants the church to be taking seriously. And so I guess that the place we need to start this evening is, well, what does Jesus mean by stumbling? Like, we understand what it means physically, don't we? Like, you understand me tripping on a curb and falling onto a pavement, but what does it mean spiritually to trip up, to stumble? Well, we're gonna do this. We're going to get just a little bit of word work here, and then we're going to think about this in our lives. So this word, the word Jesus uses here, translated stumble, appears 29 times in the New Testament. And 15 of those, Jesus is referring to, or the New Testament is referring to, falling away from trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. I think that here is the sense that Jesus has in mind. Now, there's all sorts of ways the New Testament does use this word, but I think Jesus is using it here in the sense of falling away, moving away from the path of trusting him for your forgiveness, trusting him for your eternal life, and moving on to a path of what Jesus calls the path to eternal fire, verse 8, you'll see it at the end, and what he calls the fire of hell at the end of verse 9. So you move from the path of trusting Jesus, and you stumble onto the wrong path, the path that takes you not to eternal life, but to eternal fire. To stumble is to be led off the right path. To stumble, as Jesus refers to it here, we might use a phrase like losing your faith. I think that's what Jesus has in mind here. And now it's worth noting that if you read this word stumble at other times in the New Testament, it's not always in the same sense Jesus means it here. So for example, if you read on a few chapters in Matthew's Gospel, you'll hear that Jesus says about his disciples that they will all stumble. So in the Garden of Gethsemane, he says they will all stumble. They will all fall away. But that's not full and final. He's not talking about their eternal destiny there because the disciples were restored. And again, sometimes we might use this idea of stumbling as into falling into a sin or committing a sin. And do those things, are they about our eternal destiny? Well, no, not if you're trusting the Lord Jesus, because often those things in our lives lead us back to Jesus to trust him. But the stumbling that Jesus has in mind here is the stumbling that leads to losing your salvation, your eternal salvation. It's about losing your faith in the Lord Jesus. So to stumble, if I could put up the definition on the screen, in this particular instance, Jesus is talking about falling away from the Lord Jesus. And that might then read a little bit differently, mightn't it? If that's what Jesus is referring to here, he might say, if anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in me, to fall away from trusting me, to stop trusting in me, to lose their faith in me, Well, it would be better for a large millstone to be tied around the neck. That's a way that we can read this text, and that's the way I'd like us to read it tonight. If you disagree with that, you can come back and we can talk about that afterwards. But this text is putting before us a signpost. Jesus is alluding to something where he's saying, caution, there are some spiritual trip hazards that can trip you up from following the Lord Jesus, trusting and obeying him, and lead you away from him. And in these words of Jesus, what he does is he identifies two things for us. He identifies the source of those stumblings, and he gives us a solution to those stumblings. A source and the solution. So let's first think about the source. Where do these kind of hazards come from? Well, let's have a look down at the first few verses. Look at verse 6 and 7. If anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble, it would be better for them to have a large millstone tied, hung around their neck, and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe to the world because of the things that cause people to stumble. Such things must come, but woe to the person through whom they come. In one of our bedrooms at the moment at home, we've got a leak in the top corner of the room. And when you find kind of a damp patch like that, what do? Well, you try and look for the source of the leak, don't you? You try and think, well, where's that coming from? Where is the water getting in? You go and hunt for the source. Now, that's easier said than done in this case because it's on the second floor. So you can't just pop out and have a look. But you're looking for where it comes from. And the same is true here. Jesus says that if there is this danger of stumbling, where does that come from? And Jesus identifies two places that tripping up can come from. It can come from others, and it can come from ourselves. First of all, it can come from others in verse 6 and 7. Others, you see that there, if anyone, so others can cause someone who believes in Jesus to drift away from the life of trusting in and following the Lord Jesus Christ. That means that others could cause me to lose my trust in Jesus. And Jesus warns everyone who's listening to him in this huddle with this child in the middle, he warns everyone listening of the seriousness of being that cause of somebody else losing their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. See, who's he speaking to? See, he's not speaking to the world here, he's speaking to disciples. And he's saying that even within the community of those who say they believe, there is a possibility that someone could trip us up, stop us from the path of trusting in Jesus for eternal life. The attitude and the actions of others could cause me to stumble, to stop being one of these little ones that Jesus defines as those who believe in him. And more worryingly, if you're still with me, more worryingly, that means that my attitudes and my actions could be a stumbling block to somebody else. I could be the cause of somebody refusing to walk the life of following Jesus. Now, how does that work itself out? Well, have a look closely at the text, because Jesus alludes to just one way that this kind of works itself out. Verse 5. If you go back up to the text we looked at last week, whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. So he's saying, actually, the way that you welcome people, the way that we welcome those who believe in the Lord Jesus, can actually be a stumbling block to somebody. And you think, really? Is that really true? Well, yes, it is. Did you know that the way that we welcome people can actually put people off the Lord Jesus Christ? That the way that you welcome somebody into a church, the way that you embrace them, the way that you treat them, your attitude and actions towards them can put people off the Lord Jesus Christ. As one commentator put it, let me just read it because it's better to hear him. He just said this, one can be tripped up as much by a disparaging attitude, a lack of concern and pastoral care, or a refusal to forgive, as by any temptation to sin. We can be the cause of somebody stumbling. By the things that we do and the things that we don't do, we can cause others to stumble. And others can cause me to stumble by those very same things. We can put people off Jesus. Do you believe that? That's what Jesus is saying, I think, if I've understood him properly. There are plenty of people who have come and gone from churches, who have refused to take any further steps into exploring the Lord Jesus because of things that Jesus' people have done. Or we can draw people away. We can draw people off the path of following Jesus by drawing them into wrong behaviors, patterns of living that are not the patterns of trusting Jesus, but the patterns of those who don't trust Jesus. Patterns of sexual immorality, patterns of gossip, patterns of lack of trust in God, patterns of materialism and jealousy and division. And by that I'm talking not just your kind of one-off moment where you're repentant, but lifestyles of this, patterns of this. And so serious is this to the Lord Jesus Christ. His disciples matter so much to him that he would say something quite shocking. Were you shocked by what Jesus said? Look at verse 6. It's pretty strong language, isn't it? That if you are in the danger place of causing somebody to stumble, to move away from Jesus rather than towards Jesus, then it would be better for you. That's the language here. It would be better. It would be better if you come to some gruesome end by tying a millstone around your neck and being chucked into the sea. And I'm guessing not many of us could think of a much worse way to go. It would be better if your life came to an abrupt and horrible end than to face the consequences of leading somebody away from the Lord Jesus Christ. It's pretty serious language, isn't it? Anyone who talks about Jesus being a wimp, well, that's not true, is it? Actually, he uses pretty strong language to take it seriously. And verse 7, as we think about others being the cause, verse 7, woe! Woe to the world, Jesus says, because of the things that cause people to stumble. Such things must come, Jesus says, but woe to the person through whom they come. The world in which we live is full of things that will cause people to stumble. And that is because our world has turned its back on God and therefore does not want to encourage us down the path of believing in Jesus as the path to eternal life. And the world is full of things that want you to trip up from him, to stumble over him, and to walk in another direction. And that's inevitable of the world. But Jesus says, woe to the person who brings those things into the life of another. If you're encouraging that into the life of someone else, woe to you. And so tonight, as we hear these serious warnings of Jesus, the first thing for us to say is, well, we need to watch out, don't we, for the influence of others on our lives. If Jesus is putting before us a sign tonight that says, caution, spiritual trip hazards, and others could be the source of that trouble, then we need to be a bit more alert this week to the things that might cause us to trip up. Be careful what you read on the internet. Many of us love to trawl the internet and read Christian things. But I want to say, be careful, because not everything that is Christian is Christian. Not everything that claims to be Christian is Christian. And therefore, actually, there may be some things in there that are actually subtly pulling you away from the life of trusting in the Lord Jesus alone for your salvation. It may layer other things up that it says you need if you're going to live the real and full Christian life. No, you need Christ alone. Faith alone in Christ alone. Be careful what you read. Our stumbling might come from others. And the other thing to just ask, sort of as we look in on ourselves this evening, is are you or am I the cause of somebody else stumbling? Those of us here who are parents, what kind of way are we leading our children? Are we causing them to stumble, or are we causing them to walk towards Jesus? Teenagers, what about the influence of you, of your friends on you, as you're listening into the world and what they're saying to you? You've got to be careful. What are we listening to? If there are trip hazards all over the place, are we being aware? But it's easy to wag the finger, isn't it? and say, oh, there's others. Others are going to lead me astray. But Jesus won't let us get away with just pointing the finger at others, because actually the other source is ourselves. You see that verse 8 and 9? Have a look there. He gets personal. He eyeballs his disciples. And he says, if your hand or your foot causes you to stumble, or your eye, he says, verse 9. See, my own desires, my own actions can be a trip hazard to me. My own actions and desires can lead me off the path of believing in Jesus and walking that path to eternity into the path that leads to hell. The relationships that I choose to get myself into, the activities that I pursue, the attitudes that I let take root in my life if hard things happen to me, the voices that I listen to, the things that I say to myself about God, those kind of things can become a trip hazard to me. The patterns of the things that I watch or listen to, the things I choose to say yes to and no to, all these things, Jesus says, can be trip hazards. They can cause us to stumble away from him, leading me away from Jesus. And Jesus, again, here has in mind repeated patterns, not the one-off, just committing a sin and being repentant and walking back to Jesus. No, these are repeated patterns. What patterns am I allowing to form my life and shape my life, the direction I'm walking? And so both others and ourselves can be the source of these spiritual trip hazards. And so what's the solution? Friends, how can we take this teaching of Jesus seriously? How can we overcome these dangers? Well, here's the solution. Jesus says we need to take radical action. Radical action. Have a look with me again at verse 8 and 9. If your hand or your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life maimed or crippled than to have two hands or two feet and be thrown into eternal fire. And if your eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into the fire of hell. So what's the solution? Anyone? Go on, just call it out. What's the solution?
Amputation.
There you go. So we'll be lining up after the service to take some amputations. Now, but it's serious, isn't it? It's a big thing. He says, cut it off. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. If your foot causes you to sin, chop it off. Now, wonderfully, you'll be pleased to hear that Jesus is not literally meaning that we have to cut off body parts every time we commit a sin, because if that was the case, there wouldn't be much of me left to talk to you tonight. No, this is strong, figurative language, helping us to see the radical action that Jesus wants us to take to avoid falling away from him, to avoid stumbling away from him and trust in him. It is better, and please hear what Jesus says here, it is better for you to throw away something now, even if that's painful, even if that is costly and may change your life, the whole form of your life. It is better for you to throw away something now than to be thrown into hell because you stop trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is better for you to cut out a relationship now because it is subtly pulling you away from the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that person that you've got into a relationship with doesn't really want you to be here or doesn't really want you to trust and believe in the Lord Jesus. And subtly you're feeling pulled and pulled in that direction. Jesus says it is better for you to cut out that relationship now, even if it is painful, even if it is going to change your life. It is better for you to do that now than to walk away from the Lord Jesus Christ. It is better for you to give up that hobby, if that hobby is stopping you being in the places that are going to help you to keep walking with the Lord Jesus Christ. It is better for you to cut it off, as painful as that may be, as life-transforming as that may be, like an amputation would be. It is better for you to cut it off than to be led away from the Lord Jesus Christ. It is better for you to stop watching certain programs or to stop spending so long scrolling through hours of video clips or photos if those voices are being a stronger influence on you than the voice of Jesus and trusting him. It is better for you to cut it off, put down your phone, stop watching the TV than to be pulled away from the life of trusting Jesus. Are there things in your life, or there are things that perhaps a close and trusted friend would say to you that you need to cut out of your life? Would you listen to them? And it's not just individually, is it? I think here in this section of Matthew, Jesus is also referring to the community. And the hand and a foot and an eye, perhaps in the Christian community, maybe, well, if somebody comes into church or there's a Christian influence, someone claiming to be Christian, but it's wrong and it's leading us away from Jesus, we've got to cut it out. Cut out false teaching. Cut off false teachers. Send people away who are not going to lead us down the path of trusting Jesus alone, faith alone, in Christ alone for salvation. Cut it off. Radical action is the solution to trip hazards, to stumbling away from Jesus. What is it in your life that is causing you to stumble? Causing you perhaps to move away from that path of trusting Jesus? What might you need to cut out of your life that might be causing you, or therefore causing others, to move away from trusting Jesus? Are there habits that might need to go? Are there types of conversations that need to go? Are there certain relationships that might need to put to one side? If you see this stumbling happening in the lives of others, do you love them enough? Do you love other people in this room enough to say, hey, listen, I think this thing's not very good for you? Jesus wants us to have that love for one another. Radical action is the solution to trip hazards. As we finish up this evening, I guess I just want to try and tune into the way some of us may be hearing this evening. That the first is this, that some of us may be sitting here with a kind of feeling pretty heavy about that. When I kind of got stuck into this Bible passage at the start of the week, you begin to think, oh man, well, you know, how many times have I stumbled this week? You know, how many times have I got angry or lusted or drawn somebody else into a gossip conversation? How many times have I acted selfishly, drawn others into the gossip conversations, etc.? And what happens when you read a passage like this and you feel like that is that the accuser stands on your shoulder. That's what the devil does. You know, he's referred to as the accuser. And we hear a passage like this and the accuser stands on our shoulder and says, well, Nathan, you did this, you did this. And when you read a passage like this, and you're sensitive to those kind of things, you begin to think, oh man, I'm in trouble here. I'm destined for hell, aren't I? That's what this passage says. But actually, I want to say, if you're feeling like that this evening, is hell where you're going to if you commit a sin this week? Well, no, not if you're trusting the Lord Jesus. Because that's what Jesus has in mind here. He has in mind, he's addressing those who believe in him, the little ones who believe in him, who trust in him. This is not Jesus referring to just the committing of a particular sin in a week. If we do commit those sins, which we all will as those who are seeking to follow Jesus, let those sins not walk you away from Jesus, but back towards him. The one who paid for our sins, the one who lived the life that we never lived, the one who never stumbled. Let us drive us back towards him. And the thing I would say to those of us who feel sensitive about this evening, I would say, don't let your small s stumblings, those kind of incidents in the week, your small s stumblings, lead to a capital S stumbling. Don't let those sins that creep into our life, those sins we commit, lead us into patterns of life that walk us away from Jesus rather than walk us towards him. But I'd also want to say to some of us here this evening that actually, here's a warning about where the life of refusing to believe in Jesus leads, if that's you this evening. Earlier in Matthew's gospel, we actually discover that Jesus says that there would be people who stumble over him, like a stone that causes people to stumble. Same words. And the reality is that some people will encounter Jesus and they will stumble over him. By that he means there'll be a lack of faith in him, a lack of trust in him. And if that's you this evening, then let me urge you, don't let Jesus trip you up, but instead walk towards him in faith. Because actually the alternative path that he puts before us is one that he calls eternal fire and the fire of hell. And Jesus came to save us from hell for heaven. And if that's you this evening and you're thinking, I don't believe in Jesus, then actually the way to avoid hell is through believing in the one who came for us. So friends, this evening, Jesus puts before us a signpost. There it is. It's on the floor as you head out into the week. It will stay there all week. And it says to us, caution, spiritual trip hazards. Hazards that will cause us to walk away from trusting Jesus and walk away from him towards the life that leads to hell. And the source of those is others, but it's also ourselves. The solution is radical action. What are we going to cut out to make sure that we keep on the path of trusting Jesus? What will you do this week with these words of the Lord Jesus? I'm going to give you a moment to think about that. It's right to take a moment to respond, isn't it? How will you respond to these teachings of Jesus? And then I'll lead us in a prayer. Father, we want to thank you for the grace of Jesus, who through faith in him saves us from hell for heaven. Please help us not to stumble away from trust in him this week. Please empower us to cut off things that from our lives that will cause us to stumble away. Father, each of us have taken a moment to think what those things might be. And help us not to be the cause of stumbling in the lives of others, leading them down a path that moves them away from Jesus rather than towards him. And in Jesus' name and with his help, we pray these things. Amen. Well, let's stand and sing a song.